On this Palm Sunday, we begin a special journey together. We follow the scriptures of where Jesus went to the journey of his death. The story of forgiveness started when Jesus was born. The story of forgiveness started when Jesus was born. Now, today, begins the end for Jesus. Jesus begins his work of forgiving the world of their sins. You know, as we've journeyed through this topic of forgiveness all through Lent, I continue to be asked questions about forgiveness. How do I forgive, Alan? I don't know how to do it. And I think the reason for questions like these in response to this preaching series and Bible study that we've been doing all during Lent is that we Christians, we know we must forgive. But we think we don't know how to do it. Once at a convention, there was a convention where two businessmen brought their wives with them, who had been college roommates many, many years ago, and they crossed paths. And as they crossed paths, they immediately reconnected and started telling old college stories, being excited to see each other once again, and how it was providential that they would meet again. So they spent all night talking in the lobby, reconnecting, catching up with all the years that had gone by. And as they knew the hour was growing later, they knew that their wives, who they brought with them to the conference, would be angry for staying out so late. So then they departed, and the next day they saw one another at breakfast. And they said to each other, "What did your wife think? Because we were out so late." And the one man said, "I walked in the door, and my wife got historical." And the other man said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" And he said, "No, historical. She told me everything I'd done wrong." And went on and on and on. Now comes to this final topic in this preaching series on forgiveness, the one that everyone's been waiting for. How do I forgive someone who doesn't even know they've wronged me? How do I forgive someone who doesn't think they did anything wrong to me? How do I forgive someone who won't even talk to me? What do we do when all else fails? What do we do when we've tried the process of forgiveness? We've tried to own our own emotions. We tried to talk about what had happened, how we were wronged, how it's affected us. But there's no contrition on the other person's part. There's no, "I'm sorry, I'll make it better." What do we do when that happens? This Sunday, we read this Palm Sunday text. Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and as the people celebrate the king coming into the holy city, Jesus knew it was not all fun and games. Jesus knows he must die. What makes this Luke text so interesting is that if we look back to the Old Testament, our Old Testament scripture speaks of what it means to endure pain in the book of Isaiah. I wonder what Jesus must have thought as he rode that donkey in. Did he think about this text from Isaiah as he entered into Jerusalem, knowing what he was going to face? "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." Jesus, no doubt, as he rides that donkey, knows he has to endure pain. As the people shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna," that is, "Lord, save us, Lord, save us," he knows that maybe some of the people who are shouting, "Lord, save us," will be the same people shouting at him on the cross. How could Jesus walk into Jerusalem knowing that? In the Holy Land, he comes from the Mount of Olives, the text says. And he literally has to come down the mountain, come down the road into the Kidron Valley, and come up to the Temple Mount. And along that short journey, the people are yelling, "Hosanna." No wonder on the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is an odd thing, isn't it? But it makes this broken world go on. People have all types of crazy ideas about forgiveness sometimes. People think forgiveness is about making peace quickly. Or some think forgiveness is only given when someone says they are sorry. Or forgiveness is something that they just make up as they go along. If you know anything about golf, you know that golf is about a lot of rules, right? There's a whole book of rules for golfers. And often, amongst friends, mind you, we give each other something what's called a mulligan. Do you know what a mulligan is? It's not in the rule book, but basically, if you hit a bad shot, somebody will say, "Go ahead, take a mulligan." Well, what is that? It's a do-over. It's not in the rules. You're not allowed to do it. But amongst friends, you let people have a little bit of forgiveness and grace. And if in golf, if you're on a hole that's a par four, then that means you earn par by completing the hole in four strokes. Willie Nelson once owned a golf course one time. And he said the great thing about owning a golf course is that he could decide which holes and decide what would be par for which holes. He could decide that. He owned it. He made the decisions about what holes would be certain par. And he pointed to one hole and he said, "You see that hole over there? It's par 47. I birdied it yesterday." When we come into this topic of forgiveness, we often want to pull a Willie Nelson. We want to make things as we go. We would make things up as we go in forgiveness. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the Pharisees didn't like all this celebration. They said to Jesus, "Rabbi, rebuke your disciples." In other words, get control of them because they're out of control. Jesus replies, "If these were silent, even the very rocks would cry out." In the next part of Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, you can open to it. The next part after Jesus rides in after celebration, what does he do? He cries over Jerusalem. In a few days, Jesus dies on the cross. The world will be forgiven before they ask for it. That is the true picture of forgiveness. But we don't think that way when people hurt us. That's because we want forgiveness on our terms. A number of years ago, there was an initiative started. It was called the Forgiveness Project. You can look it up online, theforgivenessproject.org. And it was a project to help fashion healthy and honest discussion about forgiveness. And the project prefaces it, their movement, by saying this: "Forgiveness is often considered the mental and or spiritual process of relinquishing resentment, indignation, or anger against another person for a perceived offense, or ceasing to demand punishment. It is quite separate from justice. Justice is taken out through the courts by some delegated authority, but forgiveness does not preclude justice." So what do? When we feel like justice has not been done, when someone wrongs us so much, what do? When people do things that aren't addressed, we we forgive. In 1960, some of you may remember this. I don't. I wasn't even born. But in 1960, history records Adolf Kors III, millionaire of the Kors Company. He was kidnapped and held for ransom. And 7 months later, his body was found at a remote hillside. He'd been shot to death. His son was only 15 years old at the time. And not only he lost his father, but he also lost his best friend. And for years, he hated his father's killer, Joseph Corbett, the man who was sentenced to life for slaying his father. And in 1975, almost 45 years later, Kors IV, the son, became a Christian. And he had a hatred for his father's murderer, a real hatred. And it consumed him. And yet, he knew he needed to forgive his father's killer. So one day, he went to go visit his father's killer in a maximum security unit in Colorado's Cannon City Penitentiary. And he talked with his father's killer, Joseph. At first, his father's killer refused to see him. So Kors left his father's killer a Bible with the following inscription: "I'm here to see you today, and I'm sorry that we could not meet. As a Christian, I am summoned by our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ to forgive. I do forgive you, and I ask you to forgive me for all the hatred I've held in my heart for you." The son later confessed. He said, "I have a love for that man, my father's killer, that only Jesus Christ could have put into my heart." If you think about the father's killer, he didn't pay his whole debt to society. His sentence had not been fully carried out. But Kors forgave the man. And here's the problem with forgiveness, is that forgiveness and justice are not the same thing. Often we struggle with forgiveness because we want forgiveness to follow justice. But that doesn't always happen that way, does it? The usual course when someone wrongs us is that someone wrongs you, you're hurt, you confront the person, you share the hurt to them, and they say, "I'm sorry," and then everything's hunky-dory, right? Well, what happens when that process doesn't happen? How do we respond to it? We must bring it, bless it, and believe it. We must bring the problem that we have to God. Say, "God, I am not in control of this situation." To bless the situation. To ask God to move. And we ask God to change it. And we must believe it. Believe that God will have the final justice for unanswered wrongs. Forgiving someone that has not asked for forgiveness is not about letting justice go. It is about God handling the justice. And we let go of our anger and the right to give back at someone. That's what forgiveness is. See, there's a difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. At the cross, Jesus provided forgiveness for everyone. But not everyone will be reconciled with him. Because people will not seek to be reconciled with him. During World War II, there was a famous pastor an author and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a part of a movement of Christians in Germany who wanted to conspire against Adolf Hitler. And through his actions and through his network and his teachings and his efforts by others, the Nazis finally found out about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his resistance movement. And just 1 month before the end of World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed. And in his writings, he spent some time in jail before his death. And he wrote that he forgave the Nazi guards for what they were doing to him. But he was never able to reconcile with them. And the same is true for you and I. You can forgive someone who hurts you, but that doesn't mean it's over. Reconciliation is down the road. Forgiveness is a letting go. What do we do when someone wrongs us and they don't know it and they won't accept it? We must bring it to God. Ask God to bless your forgiveness. And then believe it. Believe that God will be a part of the reconciliation today. Forgive the people who have wronged you. Remember that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was the start of God forgiving the world. Forgiveness is about letting go. Reconciliation happens later. When Jesus was put upon that cross and he died for our sins, that was the forgiveness part. Even before you and I ever accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God forgave us while we were still sinners. And yet, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we are reconciled with God. This week, may you forgive people who hurt you. May you give up the right to get back at them and bring it to God. Ask Him to bless it and then believe it. Believe He will have the final word on the justice of the wrong. This is our challenge as Christians, to bring it, to bless it, and to believe that God will do His work. Believe that God will work His justice and to let our anger go away. Let us pray. Lord, as we come into this holy week, many of us think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We think about what He gave up for us. And we see that it's a model of forgiveness. Lord, when all else fails, we've tried everything. We've tried everything to confront people about their wrong. We share the hurt and still they don't think they've done anything wrong. Lord, help us to separate forgiveness and reconciliation. For us to do the forgiving, that is the letting go of our anger, the letting go of the injustice, so that we can bring it to You, so that You may bless it, and that we may believe that You will work out Your justice, and that we let it go. Lord, help us on this endeavor as we journey with forgiveness. We ask all this in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.